This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, not sure if you know, my daughter Tracy joined our media company and quickly signed on to our purpose to advance the aftermarket. She's made a great impact and helped to create the Aftermarket Radio Network. Now, I've been encouraging her to find her stride and do her own podcast episode. Together, Tracy and I have attended ASTE, APEX, Vision KC, The Big Event, and others, but this experience she shares with you is her first solo event at the Woman in Auto Care Conference in the spring of 2022. Get to know Tracy and see how proud I am to have her join the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Many, I know, will relate to her story. Hey, thanks to our partner NAPA for providing you this episode. You know, since its relaunch in 2020, the NAPA Auto Care member site has continued to evolve to keep members updated on all the NAPA programs, promotions, benefits, and other information available to help their businesses survive. Not a NAPA Auto Care Center? Well, contact your servicing NAPA Auto Parts store to learn more about how to join the NAPA family.
What have I gotten myself into? Hi, everybody. It's Tracy Capriato. So I had attended Women in Auto Care in Indianapolis last month. And when I say it was amazing, I'm telling you, it was truly inspiring, empowering, I mean, changing. And I know those are like buzzwords that people use and, you know, it's easy just to kind of throw around. But truly, I wanted to share my experience with it and my experience as a first timer to try to get more women to come next year. As a first-time attendee going, it can seem very overwhelming. You know, if you don't know anyone else that's going, that can also seem daunting as well. I mean, that's real life. So after Women in Auto Care, I had told my dad, you know, this is really important to me that I kind of want to do something casual where I map out what it's like to really attend. And, you know, you hear people say, great, it's so fun, but what is it actually like? And if you're like me, that's very detail oriented, that wants to know everything going on, I thought it would be maybe helpful for me to share what my experience was like. So we had gone through, okay, great, this would be a great episode. We can just do it on video. Well, you know, as life happens, days turn into weeks. It's now April and I have not recorded. So I started mapping out kind of like, okay, I'm going to outline some questions I want my dad to ask me and X, Y, and Z. Well, the more I did that, the more nervous I got. And plus, I mean, we are incredibly busy and it's wonderful, but it is busy. So I kind of thought, I'm like, well, should I just do a video by myself and see what happens? Here I am thinking like, oh, I've done a couple Facebook videos, you know, those seem to go okay. And you know, my dad and I were able to get them on the kind of the first take now. So I'm like, oh, I'll just hit the record button and go. Because this is something that's going to be easy for me to talk to. Well, behind the scenes, this is now probably take 8. And I keep starting and stopping. So please bear with me. I mean, I have right here on my table notes and things I want to talk about. But I don't even know if I'll get to all of them. So how did I get to Women in Auto Care? Well, my dad and I had a great call. It was a Zoom call with one of our sponsors, Shopware. We kind of were going over, you know, the year for this, you know, 2022 and updating, you know, the commercials, the pre-roll. We were updating them on what's going on with us. They were updating us about them. And Roxanne, shout out Roxanne, she said, Tracy, are you going to Women in Auto Care? I said, I don't know. I don't even know when it is. And she said, it's in March. I go, oh, March is going to be so crazy for us. We have 4 work trips, plus I had a wedding I attended to. And I'm like, I just don't know if I can make that work. And she said, well, you really need to go. This is something that you would love and the networking that happens. And it's just for women. And this is something I think is really important. So we got off the call. My dad and I were talking about it. And, you know, he's like, yes, I think this is something that we need to make sure you attend and go. And I said, wait, me? You're not coming with? I don't know why I thought like Women in Auto Care, I get that, but we have been traveling so much over the past year with all these different events. And I just kind of assumed he was coming with me. He's like, no, you're going by yourself. So, you know, again, I'm keeping this very real life. My first thought was, oh, I'm not going to know anybody. I'm going to go by myself. Ah, but he said, I think you're going to know like a few people, you know, being sarcastic. So I'm like, all right, you're right. You know, I've met incredible people in the last year at ASTE, at Apex, at, you know, of course, Vision was right in the beginning of March. So I kind of had a little bit of my feet under myself where I felt like, you know what? Yes, like that sounds, you know, fine. So immediately I started texting the women that I know that I'm friends with now. And I said, are you going to Women Auto Care? Are you going to Women Auto Care? And some of them, you know, had obligations to go to SCX in Orlando because that was the same week. So I was able to find a couple of the women that were going. So for me, I felt more comfortable, which, you know what? I wish I was a stronger person to rock it out that I was going completely by myself, not knowing anyone. That's something I'm going to be working on. March happens, Vision, we go to Vision. I had the wedding and then it's Women in Auto Care. Well, during all this time, I apparently forgot to book my hotel room for Women in Auto Care. You know, I had booked the flight, I booked the, you know, attendance fee, all of that. The night before I leave, I'm printing out just so I have my boarding pass, my hotel information. I'm, you know, just leaving all the information for my fiance. And because I like to be organized, I like to have physical things in front of me. You know, I'm a millennial, but I don't use like the codes that for your phone that you scan in to get into things because my anxiety is, well, if it doesn't work on my phone, like what am I going to do? I'd rather have a hard copy. So I don't know, that makes me kind of old school. So anyways, I go through all this. Don't have my hotel reservation and I have a complete meltdown. How could I forget to book the hotel room? I was so mad at myself. Then I called and they only had one room available for one night and then they were booked the second night. And you know what? I rationalized it's not that big of a deal. I just go to a different hotel. That's totally fine. But it is nice to kind of stay at the hotel the conference is at. So A, you're not walking, you know, home after the cocktail hour at 11 o'clock at night. But if I had to do it, I was going to do it and move rooms multiple times. Well, as always, it turns out better than I expected. The hotel was able to accommodate me for both nights. And I was very grateful for that. So got that squared away, kind of started off on a little bit of an anxiety foot because I'm like, oh, how could I have done that to myself? Anyways, I get to Women in Auto Care. The hotel helps me out. First night has a first-time cocktail hour just for the first-time attendees, which I thought was wonderful. That way, you kind of see who else is going by themselves. Who else is this their first time? And you kind of already build that sense of, okay, like this is like a community. This is a support system. And, you know, you're able to network. And I saw a ton of familiar faces and it really was a blast. And then they opened up the cocktail hour to any attendees to go. They have kind of, you know, a little speech about what's to come with the conference. And one of the main things that they pointed out that first night was do not eat dinner alone. They did not want anyone that was going by themselves or going with maybe another person, two other people, to just be eating by themselves alone. They said, do not go to the hotel restaurant. Do not order something and go up to your room. They actually provided these sign-up sheets for all these different restaurants. They had, you know, blocked, you know, different reservations at these places and said, please just sign up. Sign up. You're going to meet so many new people. Get out of your comfort zone and don't be doing this alone or feel like you have to eat alone. I know that sounds like crazy that I'm like talking all about that, but really, I mean, for people that are going by themselves, like, what are you going to do? You're in a city that you've never been to, you don't know anyone else. And, you know, you kind of are like, well, do you want to go to dinner? Where should we go? They already had that set for you. So I really thought that that was wonderful. I had a great dinner, go back to the hotel, go to bed, get up the next morning, and it's the first big day. So it's a full day. Starts with breakfast and then the conference starts. So I head down to go to breakfast and also to make sure my hotel room was going to be okay. I didn't have to move initially. I thought I was going to have to move rooms, but they were able to accommodate me. So I get down there. I start heading to breakfast. They have a gorgeous buffet. They have this huge, huge room with, I don't know, maybe like 20 tables. And by that time I had gotten down, it was kind of like the middle of breakfast hour. Everyone was there. It was packed out. Again, this is me being real. I go and start heading in because I have a huge bag. You know, I have like a notebook and I, you know, had a swag bag from the conference and I just kind of wanted to put everything down so I could go to the buffet. I started walking to the room. I saw 200 people already sitting down, chatting away, having a great time. And I don't know what it was, but it stopped me in my tracks and I got stage fright. And I know that sounds crazy, but that is what happened. I could not go into that room and I sound so silly, but I don't know. I got really bad stage fright. So kind of did a little diversion, go to the buffet line. I'm pretending I'm, oh yeah, potatoes. Oh, eggs. Yeah, that's maybe I'll have that cereal, pretending that I'm like perusing around when really I just did a lap, turned around, went back to the lobby because I knew my two friends were actually on their way down and I waited for them. And then we all went in together that initial, even after the cocktail hour. I mean, it was wonderful. It was great. I still had that initial stage fright. I don't know what it was, but that's my experience. And I don't know, maybe some of you can relate to that or not. You know, when I tell people that I was really, really shy in school, like did not speak shy, some people are like, what? Are you crazy? I can't picture that at all. But you know what? It happens. And that's something I work on. Anyways, sit down. And I think I needed just that icebreaker moment and have that like uncomfortable feeling and push through that. Because after that, I felt totally at ease. You know, you sit down at a table, you don't know anybody, everyone includes you in the conversation. Hi, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm working for this company. And how long, you know, have you been in the industry? Is this your first time? And it's really just a nice meet and greet. There's no pressure. It's not awkward at all. That was my first, like, okay, big kind of hurdle. And I know that sounds silly.
Hey, it's no secret. We're facing a technician shortage, and Napa Auto Care has a solution with the Napa Auto Care Apprentice Program. The program was pioneered by one of our own. Pete McNeil and Master Technician Jake Sorensen from McNeil's Auto Care in Sandy, Utah, realized that the problem of not having technicians available for hire was not going to solve itself and decided to take action and look at a different audience of individuals available for hire. A focus was put on younger individuals with the right passion, desire, and attitude to work in the automotive repair industry. Jake and Pete sought after these individuals and developed a technician apprentice program to give them the training needed to become a successful technician in today's world. The Napa Auto Care Apprentice Program includes a comprehensive 9-stage curriculum that includes a variety of types of training, and they are classroom training videos exclusive to the apprentice program. Now, these videos provide in-depth training from a successful master technician. Also, AutoTech classes with instructor-led courses offered through Napa AutoTech and AutoTech e-learning. This web-based e-learning is designed to target specific training topics. And finally, hands-on learning. The apprentice will apply the skills gained from the classroom training videos, AutoTech instructor-led training, and AutoTech e-learnings in the shop with the guidance of a mentor. The apprentice program curriculum is competency-based, meaning an apprentice can move through each stage at a pace that best suits them. Most apprentices complete the program within 2 years. Upon completion, apprentices will have earned ASE G1, A4, A5, and AC certifications, adding industry validation to the skills an apprentice acquires. Look, having an apprentice in your shop will ultimately benefit your bottom line as they advance through the program. And in most cases, as the apprentice develops their skill set producing billable hours, you'll begin to see a growth in your gross profit by stage 5. One of the largest barriers to entry for individuals looking to enter the automotive repair industry is the cost of tools. Now, keep your apprentice motivated with an apprentice toolkit. Now, Napa Auto Care has worked with our supplying partners to offer an exclusive comprehensive tool set, including a 4-drawer tool cart for all registered apprentices. Hey, to learn more, members can visit member.napaautocare.com.
Anyways, we go into the conference, and I'm telling you, these guest speakers were incredible. Like I said before, like it's not your stereotypical, like, oh, these are the cheesy one-liners about business and, you know, be yourself and everything like that. And, you know, girl power. Yes, women in auto care. That's a huge factor in it. But it really was about being a good person, working on yourself and taking the time to work on yourself and really acknowledging it, you know. When I think back on this last year, my dad and I attended these amazing, amazing training events. And I know that is so huge in the automotive industry that people are not taking advantage of, that need to go and need to network and need to train, and things are constantly changing. So you have to be, you know, training. And that's really for any business, any job that you have, that you're starting out in, that you're already involved in. Training is just something that naturally always needs to happen. When do we ever take time to train and do things for ourselves? Where is the training for yourself programs, you know? And I think this was a key component in self-reflection, really identifying things that you might be thinking of. It's your internal monologue, and you don't really realize it until you identify it. And then you're like, oh yeah, like I say that a lot and this and that. And so any guest speaker that spoke shared very personal stories about their struggles, their success, their failures, what it took for them to overcome something really uncomfortable. And they also gave the audience a lot of opportunity to speak. And, you know, they had microphones ready and hot. And anyone who wanted to share, you know, a story, it was a safe place that people could share. And then everyone got a standing ovation, clapping, you know, any story, you got recognized for getting up, talking, sharing, and, you know, being bold and being brave. So like I said, I go from, you know, not being able to get into breakfast to now I'm sitting at the conference, and it's just, I'm getting more involved and more involved and more engaged. And, you know, I took a ton of notes and it was wonderful. They had a lot of exercises, kind of like little breakout sessions where you kind of worked with your table, you got up, you moved. It was very engaging to not just have the speakers, which, I mean, it was, they're amazing presentations, but time to kind of discuss amongst yourselves what's going on and all that. So, I mean, I loved it. It was great. One of the exercises was about discrimination, and especially discrimination in the workplace, and sharing stories of, you know, if you're comfortable enough to share stories about what you've dealt with, what you've seen, what you've experienced. So, you know, you kind of discuss it with your table. Well, my first thought, obviously, because I'm Asian, spoiler alert, I'm Asian, is, I mean, I have a library of Asian stories that will knock your socks off, of just things that happen that people say to me. So that was my first, I'm like, oh, well, I could tell you 10 stories off the top of my head about discrimination because I'm Asian, or because I'm a woman that's also Asian. So my group was talking about my experience, their experience, and then they gave an opportunity for anyone in the room to share with the whole group. These stories were incredible, and they were very vulnerable. They were, you know, touching. There were some tears. It really struck a chord with me. And as I'm sitting there listening to these amazing stories and about workplace discrimination and, you know, women discrimination, it really just tugged at me. And I remembered a story that happened to me with a previous job in my early 20s, right out of college. I say remembered because I think it's something that I've maybe repressed and just kind of shoved off to the side. But I did face a sexual harassment issue, like I said, right out of college in my first job. It was so embarrassing. And at the time, it was so embarrassing that I just was like, I just want to be over it. My employer and the company did not handle it well. I know that looking back, when I was in this situation, I, you know, loved this job. It was great. It was my first job out of college, and I didn't want to, you know, make a big deal and make a big fuss. And, you know, my boss at the time kind of was just like, okay, like, you know, everything's fine, right? And you're okay. Are you okay? Okay, great. I remember that. And as they're going around talking, and, you know, they say, okay, we have time for one more story. And I had that split second silence where I'm like, I want to say something. I just shot my hand up, shot it right up. And they go, the woman in the back. So I'm like, I can't believe I'm saying this. So I shared my story about sexual harassment. As I'm retelling this story, I, you know, had said, I wish I knew then what I know now. I wish I had a stronger voice. I wish I had a stronger self-confidence in myself. because I'm sure things like this happen all the time. And, you know, I'm glad that I am able to look back on that and say that wasn't right. It was not handled correctly. But what about the women that's happening to them now? And it made me feel good to voice my story. I've never done it that in that grand scheme of things. It was kind of therapeutic for me, to be honest, to share that. My main point was I wish I had known about this kind of support and community, especially for being a woman then, because I know it would have changed how I handled that situation. So, you know, I know you can't look back and you have to always look forward, but sometimes I feel like it's okay to look back because you can see how far you've grown and how far you've come, basically. So I ended up sharing it and it was terrifying and my hands were shaking and, you know, but I did it and I had overwhelming support from all the women in the audience. And afterwards, I mean, I had women come up to me and say, thank you for sharing that. And this is something that I'm sure a lot of women face, but they don't ever share. And I'm glad that you feel now like you're, you know, have the confidence to look back and say that wasn't right. And it really empowered me, I guess. And I felt really good about it. And I'm glad that I shared that story because I didn't even share that story with my table. So I kind of turned to my table. I'm like, I didn't share this one, but here we go. If you think about it, going from not being able to walk in at breakfast to I'm standing up with a microphone and sharing a story about sexual harassment that I had faced. So that is kind of shows you the power that this conference has, the support that you have with it. So, you know, that was just a big, big, big takeaway. Besides all of the amazing speakers and presentations, and, you know, there was a lot about public speaking. You know, there's a presentation about public speaking. There's a presentation about like an imposter syndrome, which resonated with everybody in the audience. There was a lot of fun too. So Thursday night, we had 80s night theme. And I mean, I love a theme. I love any sort of costume theme, or I will dive into that head first. I am in. Going to this though, I knew ahead of time it was 80s theme, and they had specifically said, bring your dancing shoes, bring your best outfit. For me, I'm thinking, okay, well, this is my first time going. I kind of don't want to be the one that's decked out like crazy and be the only one, or be maybe one of five out of 200 people that are dressed up like this. So I didn't bring anything. I also didn't have time to really Amazon anything in between going to all these events that my dad and I were going to. So, you know, I was like, it doesn't matter. Whatever. So I get there and start the cocktail hour, the 80s theme party. And I'm telling you, the outfits were incredible. Decked out, hairspray, big earrings, light up jewelry, big skirts, leg warmers, leggings. I mean, it was the colors. It was amazing. And then I felt left out. Then I'm like, oh, shoot, I should have brought something. Well, luckily I had on kind of like a royal blue shirt. It was like kind of silky. And so I'm like, well, you know, wear that. And I kind of had told a couple of people, you know, I didn't really bring anything. Are you wearing anything tonight? And they're like, yeah, I have a whole outfit planned out. Well, shout out again to the women that were there, because I ended up getting like decked out in 80s accessories by people just handing stuff to me. They're like, here, wear this necklace, wear this. And it was really awesome. So by the end of the night, I was a full-on outfit of the 80s. And we had a wonderful, you know, auction and a silent auction. And that was, you know, really fun to get into as well. And after that, they had a whole 80s dance party and dance floor, music and everything. And we all rocked it out for, I don't know, a couple hours. We had so much fun. So that was just incredible. And then by Friday, it's just the energy was electric. And I met so many new people. And I met a lot of people that were there by themselves. And they were honest about, yeah, I kind of was nervous coming here by myself. But I'm glad that I did it because I met so many amazing people. And I feel, you know, kind of like rejuvenated, revitalized. And those were the key words for Women in Auto Care. I didn't make those up. on the fly. I wish I did, but that's kind of their tagline for it. So really, if you weren't attending Women in Auto Care, you have to go next year. I'm telling you, you have to go. If you're a first-time attendee, you have to go. If you don't know anyone else, you have to go. Hey, you can contact me, and you can already see by my level of anxiety about certain things, we'll probably get along really well. So really, I want so many more people to attend, because it's not your stereotypical, you're sitting in a seminar, you're slunched over, you know, it was engaging. It was just on fire. It really was on fire. And one of the big takeaways I took from this, they said, okay, what's something that's going to push you outside of your boundaries? And I wrote down, I'm going to do a video about this. And I was so jazzed about it. And then I got home. And then, like I said, then all of a sudden it's kind of on the back burner and I'm catching up on work. And my dad and I are traveling this month as well. And you know what? I'm just like, I'm just going to do it. So I hope you kind of enjoyed this. I don't know if it's like kind of long or too long or whatever. I'm probably going to edit a lot of this out, but I just really want people to get more involved with Women in Auto Care. I really do. It was amazing. I already can't wait till next year. All right. So anyways, this is me. And that was my experience. And I probably sound like a crazy person, but hey, that's kind of who I am. I'm just a little touch of crazy. So thank you again to everyone at Women in Auto Care. Thank you to everyone that, you know, really shared their inspiring story. And I just am really grateful to be a part of this industry. And I know that, again, sounds like, you know, it's kind of scripted out, but no, I mean, I jumped in here not having an automotive background, and that in itself, you know, can be a whole nother episode where you kind of just feel like, oh, how am I ever going to, you know, catch up? And I didn't grow up in a shop. I didn't sweep the floors. But you know what? There are a lot of other people that are joining this industry as newbies. And what better industry to join than this one where everyone is supportive? And I mean that, everyone really is supportive. So thank you to everybody. If you're still here, thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. Okay, bye.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.